Hi, this is Rob and Mike from the McClellan Financial Group, and this is Think Smart with TMFG. Good afternoon, Mike. How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Excellent. You know, the last time we got to chat, we were discussing, you know, one of those things that happen either before retirement or in the first few years of retirement, and we called it downsizing myths. Along the same vein, I thought it might be interesting today to discuss what I'll call concentrated positions and some of the risks involved in concentrated positions and assorted things like that. And I guess the idea here is, in retirement, you don't have a lot of chance to make things back. You're not earning any money. The money you have is the money you have. And you've got to make that money work for you. And you want to try and eliminate as many possible risks as are out there. So when I say concentrated positions, what comes to your mind right away?
I guess the biggest lesson we learned on concentrated positions is back in the early 2000s with Nortel. Everyone in Canada learned their lesson. And a few lessons we took from that. Number one, you have to make sure it doesn't depend on the size of the company. Every company has a risk level to it. And don't let size deceive you. Big companies can fail. Second thing we learned in that is a lot of people didn't reduce their concentration in a company like that because of tax consequences. And it's this idea that it's letting the tail wag the dog. And what I mean by that, it's letting the decision of having to pay some money in taxes wag the bigger decision of the dog, which is how is your money going to get you through your retirement. And we found that was we were lucky because in our business we did a lot to avoid getting people. We tried to get people out of Nortel. We didn't purchase stocks like that. It was a growth stock, so it was against sort of our philosophy on stocks. So we were reducing positions in it or getting rid of people had it. But we watched a lot of people come to us afterwards with the damage that had been done from having a concentrated Nortel position.
Absolutely. I remember one client in particular who had, you know, it was something like $500,000 in Nortel stock. He had worked there as part of the company savings plan, and he had made a lot of money from it. And we had numerous discussions over a year, especially while that stock kept rising in 2000, and numerous meetings about you need to reduce this. And he kept saying, I don't want to pay the taxes. And, you know, at the time, I guess I had been in the business about a little less than 10 years. And, you know, I sort of followed what my client wanted me to do, as opposed to really getting aggressive with him and saying, we need to make the decision. At the end of the day, it's still the client's decision. But my new rule is, here's your choice. You can either pay the taxes, keep the money, or you can let the market wipe out the gains that you have. Because at some point, if this thing's done too well, the market will wipe it out. It's just whatever, it's what happens. So you can either pay a little bit of tax and keep the capital, or you can lose the capital and have the market wipe it out. So that's sort of one of those things. And I think it's key that when you're in retirement, you shouldn't have any more than 5% in one individual stock or bond for that matter.
Yeah, and even within positions too, if you go back and again, looking through the disasters in time, 2008, 2009, had a position in U.S. banks. You know, I watched all the big U.S. banks go from, you know, $100 to $3 a share. And that's banks like Citibank and Bank of America. These are huge, huge institutions. So again, size should not, you should not feel that much comfort in the size of the institution that you're invested in. What's more comfort is the diversity you have in your portfolio. So anytime you get concentrated in either an individual stock or an individual industry, you're just asking for a problem.
I'll use another example, preferred shares. And so preferred shares are, you know, they act like a bond. They pay a nice interest rate. And the capital, in theory, is protected by the corporation. The problem is that the market moves the prices of preferred shares around. And so I use an example of you know, the last 2 years. I had a particular client, had a couple $100,000 in preferred shares that were paying a nice interest rate, you know, north of 4%. So they look pretty attractive in today's fixed environment. And I didn't liquidate them. We held on to them. And what happened is suddenly the value of those preferred shares is down 25% over the last 2 years.
Yep.
And that's because interest rates have moved up and people are more attracted to equities and whatever the reason is. And so now you've impacted your returns. You've impacted your capital. You can hold and wait for them to come back, or maybe you're better to put it in a more diversified portfolio and guarantee that it's going to come back over time.
Yeah, we see similar situations with people taking second mortgages too. They go and you can get decent rates on a second mortgage. But again, it's not like buying a bond portfolio with 1,000 bonds in it. You're buying the risk level of one individual and their job and what the risk level involved in those. You're hoping the person that's taking the mortgage is going to be employed. You're hoping the economy stays well. You're hoping the value of the property doesn't drop. And there's so many different pieces to that one equation. And people just look and say, well, I could get 3% on a GIC. I'm getting 7% on a mortgage. Don't have a clue at the risk involved in that.
Absolutely. You know, I think we go back to the basic, which is risk and return are always related. If there's a higher return, there has to be a higher risk. What I think is interesting about second mortgages and things like that is the risk isn't obvious. You look at it and you say, it's guaranteed. I'm going to get 8% over the next 2 years, and then I'll get my capital back in interest. And that may work for 5 years. And so you buy more of them. And then suddenly you get one that what happens is suddenly the interest payments don't come in on time. That's your first clue. So you didn't get the interest. Oh, I still have my capital. Oops, now the capital isn't there anymore. And so suddenly, even though you thought a diversified portfolio of second mortgages, now you've lost two of the mortgages. And maybe you've lost 20% of the capital. At the end of the day, risk and return are always related. If there's a higher return, there's a higher risk. You got to find it and figure out what it is.
There's a lot of investments that are out there that work well until they don't. And that's really how it goes, because you don't realize the risk and it doesn't come on as the stock markets are very forgiven in a way. The risk comes on slowly and you see it coming. You can watch the stock market go down and you're involved in that. Other investments like mortgages, like real estate and that, the risk can happen very, very quickly. And it doesn't show itself until it's too late, basically. I just talked to a client today and just talking about investing in real estate in the late 80s and 90s. And they bought an apartment and they said, you know, the description of the 90s was you couldn't give it away anymore. Said no matter what you wanted to do, you bought a property in 89 and the real estate market was going through the roof. And all of a sudden in 91, 92, there was no one to even sell it to.
Absolutely. I mean, just even look at the condo market in Toronto. We've seen some condos where they didn't end up getting built and the people didn't get their deposit back.
Yep.
And so things like that. The other one that I think is also interesting is, you know, private loans or loans to family. Those are all things that can help blow up a financial plan or a retirement plan. And maybe it's not a lot. Maybe it's only 5, 10%. But if you take 10% or 5% of the capital out of a pool of money and it's gone forever, that means you got to lower your standard of living. That may mean that the trip where you were going to stay in a 4-star hotel, now you can only stay for, 3 days in a 3-star hotel. And you worked all this time to have a plan in place to do some of those things when you retire, especially in that first 10 years. You don't want something to prevent you from having to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's key, that you don't have those.
There's a balance in concentration. There's also a balance in liquid versus illiquid investments too, that you got to really keep an eye on, because you need liquidity as well as the growth. And people sometimes forget that. They think about income, they think about growth, and they forget the liquidity issue, because you don't know when you're going to need sums of money.
Absolutely. Whether it's health, whether you do need to help a family member, whether, you know, you may have aging parents that you need to help, all kinds of things that can happen. I guess the final one that I would put under the thing of try and eliminate in retirement or before retirement, certainly, is any debt. And, you know, if it's deductible debt, if it's in, you know, if it's invested in something, that's probably okay. But if it's non-deductible debt and you're just carrying a line of credit for $100,000, a couple hundred thousand, or you may still have a mortgage on your principal residence, you really need to eliminate that before retirement.
Absolutely.
It just causes problems. You know, interest rates have started to go up a bit last year. That's more cost for that line of credit, or maybe your mortgage gets renewed and it's now at a higher rate. That hurts your cash flow. So those are some ideas on concentrated positions. I think that's probably pretty good for this week. Anything else?
That's about it. Sounds great.
This is Rob and Mike with Think Smart with TMFG.
You have been listening to the McClelland Financial Group of Asante Capital Management Limited. Asante Capital Management Limited is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada. Insurance products and services are provided through Asante Estate and Insurance Services Incorporated. This material is provided for general information and is subject to change without notice. Every effort has been made to compile this material from reliable sources, however, no warranty can be made as to its accuracy or completeness. Before acting on any of the above, please make sure to see a professional advisor for individual financial advice based on your personal circumstances.